Now we can start. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Now what's happening in this is Israel is come out of captivity. They're in the wilderness, right? They're marching toward the promised land. And the other nations are afraid. They've heard about how the Red Sea was parted. They know that Israel was assigned to go take this land. And the nation of Moab was particularly afraid of Israel. And so they went and they hired Balaam, who was a seer, prophet, an individual with some particular abilities. They hired him to curse Israel. You remember this? And of course, Balaam says, I can't curse whom God's blessed. Finally, they kept raising the ante, you know, making greater offers. Finally, he says, okay, I'll give it a shot. And so he's going to go curse Israel. Let's go over to verse number 21. Numbers 22, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding up on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. So Balaam's riding to go curse Israel, and God sends an angel to stop him, potentially to kill him. And it says, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. Now here's what's interesting. God sends an angel. And the donkey sees the angel. You follow me? Now let me right here insert what we're talking about this morning. We're going back to our series we were doing before, teaching about the miracles of God in the Bible. I actually was listening to a tape the other day, a message. We use the term tape. It was probably a CD or it was online. I don't know if I've used any tapes in quite a while. And they were talking about, I believe it was Jesse Duplantis. I could have that wrong, but one of the teachers that we know of was talking to another Christian. And they were upset that Jesse was talking about the miracle power of God, that they saw miracles. And he says, well, do you see miracles in your church? He says, no, we really don't. He says, do you ever talk about it? No, we really don't. He said, well, that's probably why you don't see them. So we want to talk about them. Amen. We talk about miracle power, so we see miracle power. Because what you hear creates an expectation. Do you follow me? I mean, what you're exposed to causes you to think in those lines. And when you think in those lines, it'll create faith in what can be done. And so we're talking about the miracle power of God in the Bible to create an expectation for miracle power to be in our midst. Because we know if God did it before, He will do it again. And what we're looking at is, certainly we're not going to take time to look at every miracle event in the Bible. I mean, there are just so many events that took place. We're going to look at some of the key ones. We've already been doing this for a few weeks, and we've looked at the plagues in Egypt. We've looked at Abraham having a miracle son. We've looked at the Jordan parting, the walls of Jericho falling flat. And those are all phenomenal miracles. I mean, for the ground to open up and swallow the walls of Jericho lets you know that God is not limited in power. Right? Well, now we're looking at this event regarding Balaam. And a donkey sees the angel. You follow me? That's somewhat moving into some kind of miracle manifestation itself, isn't it? How many of you have ever actually seen angels? I'm just curious. Raise your hand if you've seen angels. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm 8 if I count my wife. Now the guys are going, yeah, me too. Oh, too late. I already jumped in on it first. You had your chance to raise your hand early. There's a bunch of you who have seen angels. Some of you have seen demons. I've never seen any of that. God's never opened me up to see in that realm, but I know they're there. And I can't say I've seen them because I've seen them inside of other people's eyes when they had made residence in that person as their home. You follow me? You can recognize the demonic in people just by looking into the window of the soul, which is the eye, and see what's resident there. But the donkey sees the angel. Now, it says, verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. At least it wasn't a sandblaster. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the donkey with a staff. Now here's our miracle, our next one. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, that'll have you in a little bit of shock. What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would that there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. That would not be what I would respond. Right. I would say, how are you talking? Yes. What is going on? Who is this really? Is there a ventriloquist around? Who is this? Did you ever hear Bill Cosby do Noah? And right, I want you to build an ark. Right. I would be asking similar questions as Noah should have asked, right? What's an ark? What's a cubit? He doesn't even respond, apparently, to the donkey speaking. He just starts having a conversation with the donkey. That had to be a miracle in itself. Did you ever wonder what a horse would say if a horse could speak? Because no one can speak to a horse, of course, unless, of course, the talking horse is the famous Mr. Ed. I couldn't help it. I had to go there. A horse, of course. No one can speak to a horse, of course. Does anybody remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse? Okay. Did you ever wonder what a horse would say if it could speak? Could it even use a sentence? This donkey actually used sentence type structure. Are you following me? Another miracle. You know, when people talk about the Bible, they talk about some of that stuff can't be true. This would be one they would refer to. People would have to say, I cannot believe a donkey spoke. I believe it. I'm more incredulous at Balaam's response than at what the donkey said. Because God certainly has the ability, who created the man and created the donkey, created the language, to have the donkey utter the words that the donkey was thinking. Right? So we have a major miracle here. And if God can speak through a donkey, or if a donkey can be made to speak, what is there in our lives He can't do? Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. Right? And so, we're seeing all these miracles that God did in the Bible. Walls falling flat into the ground, Red Sea parting, waters turned to blood, staffs turned to cobras, Aaron's rod budding. I mean, we've probably already covered enough scripture just up to Numbers that there's probably 100 different miraculous type things that have taken place. if we looked and went into all of them, right? And they cover every single area of creation. How about just the miracle, let there be light, and there was light? There is nothing that God doesn't have covered in here. That means whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're needing, certainly God has the ability, and in most cases the desire, to do it. And if it's regarding healing, know that God wants you healed. 3 John 2 would, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. God said, if I can teach you, if I can get your soul renewed to the Word, I can get you healed, I can get you financially blessed, nothing shall be impossible. We want to create in here a miracle mentality. I want us to transition to the place of looking at the natural, expecting the natural, to looking at circumstances, knowing that's all a target for God to move right now, and I believe He will. Because if we can believe, He will do it. Go over to Joshua chapter 10. Here's a miracle manifestation. Now, by Joshua chapter 10, they've already defeated Jericho. They've already defeated Ai. And they've already made a covenant with Gibeah. Remember Gibeah? Dressed up like they were from far away because they didn't want to be destroyed next. They were the next city on the list to be destroyed. So they made a covenant with Israel that Israel then would not be able to destroy them. Right? If we go to Joshua chapter 10, and let's pick it up in verse number 12. It says, Then spake Joshua to the Lord Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and they destroyed the Amorites. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still. Oh, no, I need to back up. I went to the wrong verse. Hang on. Go to verse... Well, let me back up for a minute, because I don't want to read through the whole chapter. The Amorites were next on the list, and they were afraid of Israel. Remember, Israel was commanded to go and take the promised land, basically a city at a time. The Amorites were one of the next ones on the list. I don't know if they're exactly next, but they were really close. And so they knew they couldn't defeat Israel on their own, so they went and gathered up other kings, 4 other kings, to fight against Israel with them. So they came up against Israel as a mighty force. And it says in verse 8, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. Now let me insert this right now. God says, Don't fear them, I've given them into their hand. I've delivered them to you. Do you notice that Joshua still had to fight the battle? Just because God says He's given you something doesn't mean there's not a fight involved with it. Just know He said you're going to win if you'll fight. But you just can't, you know, sit around and do nothing. So he had to attack. He had to take the offensive. Verse 10, And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way and that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Verse 11, And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, or when they're going down unto Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. So Israel, Joshua gets up to fight, and they're winning the battle, yet then God kicks in and hailstones fall. Great hailstones, and kill more with hailstones. That's some powerful hailstones right there. Then are killed by Joshua. So there's a miracle manifestation of God's ability to be involved in weather events. Do you follow me? But he goes on. Verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Joshua said this, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, and to the people that avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now, you talk about a miracle. Think about this. Because I go through the physics of this. The sun did not go down for an entire extra day. The moon didn't come up for an entire extra day. Now you talk about a prayer for a miracle. First, let's just throw this in. What instigated the miracle taking place? The man of God spoke. If you think there's not power in your words, right here it says it took place because Joshua said it. In fact, they reiterate it and say, because the man of God said it, the sun didn't go down for a day. I'm telling you what, there is power in what we say. And you know, we sometimes when we speak words of faith, we say, well, you know, I understand God moves on our words, but some of these are just harder than others. Well, I can tell you right now, and I've changed the weather by what I spoke. I've told you the testimonies about the rain not raining on the property I was working on, going around it on the boundary lines. I've watched that. But I've never stopped the sun for a day. I've never asked anything I don't even think approaches the difficulty of stopping the sun for a day from a physics standpoint. So how would that happen? How would the sun stop in the sky for a day? What causes the sun to move across the sky? Is it the sun that's actually moving across the sky? The earth is rotating. And for the sun not to go down for a day, from a physics standpoint, the most likely explanation would be somehow the earth stopped rotating for 24 hours. And then, got to start back up. Do you like the sound effect? How do you stop the world from spinning? Can you imagine the force required to stop the world from spinning? Of course, God could do it with his little finger. I couldn't stop a sandblaster with my little finger without causing damage. God just stopped the earth. Now, that's one possibility. You follow me? But the physics is just stopping the earth. Do you understand? Everything on the surface of the earth is moving at 1,000 miles per hour. The earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour on the surface. Think about it. The circumference of the earth is 24,000 miles. Do you follow me? It spins once every 24 hours. That means everything on the surface of the earth is moving past the same point at 1,000 miles per hour. You don't just stop it instantaneously. You follow me? I mean, you talk about earthquake effect. All that inertia that would take place, that momentum that would, you know, that would be active. He had to slow it down to stop it. And then speed it up to get it back up to 1,000 miles per hour. All with enough precision, you know, the soldiers didn't fall over like, oh, what happened? Have you ever been to the airports and been on those moving sidewalks? You know, they speed up and you're walking on them and you're walking on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden you get to the end of it and it's not moving anymore. And you gotta time yourself and be careful, otherwise you're gonna go for a nosedive. Because you've got momentum. And you can't just step off without that momentum wanting to push you forward. And that's at what? 10 miles per hour? Think about 1,000 miles per hour. I think about these things. I know you're probably bored with it, but to me it's intriguing. How did God do this? Now there's another option. Maybe God bent the atmosphere. He just changed bent the atmosphere where the earth kept spinning, but he reflected the light in a different fashion. I don't know. Maybe Jesus just appeared up there as a second sun and illuminated that night. Nothing's impossible for God. But what we want to create in you is a revelation that God did it based on the words of a man. And if he can stop the sun in the sky for a day, who a man who was not born again, was not filled with the Spirit, did not have the covenant we have, you follow me? Was not made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, was not a saint, yet God did it for him. What is there that's not possible for us? Amen. We serve a miracle God. Judges chapter 15. Now, Judges 15 is about an interesting guy named Samson. And let's go to verse number 14. And when we came to Lehi, how many know the Philistines wanted to kill Samson? Right? And when they came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms, they had tied him. The Israelites had tied him to deliver him to the Philistines. Became as flax that was burnt with fire. He broke ropes. And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of a donkey. And put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jaw of a donkey have I slain 1,000 men. My goodness. He defeats 1,000 armed men with a jawbone. That is supernatural strength. Do you follow me? It says the Spirit of God came on him. He could do physically what he couldn't do, a man could not normally do. Did you ever see in the movies where they always have Samson and he's played by, who was the one guy that played Samson? Victor Mature. I was trying to think. It wasn't Rory Calhoun. It was Victor Mature. Remember the old movie Samson with Victor Mature? And Victor Mature, of course, was a muscle man. They got him to play Samson. They did a recent movie where they had Samson was muscle-bound guy, if you saw that one. I don't recommend it. It was kind of just really unscriptural. Muscle-bound guy. There is no reason to believe that Samson had big muscles. You follow me? He didn't look like me. He probably didn't have gray hair. My hair is not gray, it's chrome. Because had he been muscle-bound and really physically built, people wouldn't have questioned some of the deeds he did. They just said, why, he was so muscular. But no, they recognized the Spirit of God came on. There's a chance that there was nothing special physically about Samson other than his hair length. And he kills 1,000 men with a jawbone. If God can do that, that's a miracle. And it wasn't a one-time miracle. It was on his life. That because his long hair was there, he'd kept that Nazirite vow. That when the demand arose, the Spirit of God would come on him and he had that strength. Do you follow me? You have a right to the strengthening power of God. You have a right not to have to be always falling asleep when you get in the Word and praying. You can call on miracle power to keep you awake. We see miracle power come on us every Friday night. Again, I'm not trying to recruit for Friday night. Well, I always am, but I'm not trying to condemn if you're not there. But the first time we met for Friday night, we had a big group turnout. And everybody brought pillows and blankets and pajamas and sleeping bags and everything else. And we started praying at 11 and an anointing hit us. And nobody got sleepy. I've been praying all night, Friday night prayer now. We've been over 7 years. I would say not more than 2 times in 7 years has that anointing not dropped. Maybe 2 times in 7 years we've had to fight to stay awake. Because that anointing, we call it the caffeine anointing. It's a miracle manifestation from the Spirit of God. Because you're doing what God said to do, just like Joshua was doing what God said to do. Just like Samson was doing what God wanted him to do. That anointing is there to do what you can't do of yourself. And I discovered on Friday nights, I'll stay up all night for prayer. I can go on about 3 hours of sleep the next day and I'm fine. Sometimes not that much. But that anointing refreshes and strengthens. It does what you can't do. We have a right to the strength of God. You've heard the testimonies of people that, you know, came across car wrecks and somebody was pinned and somebody lifted the car. Now that could be an angel intervening, or it could be the Spirit of God coming on the person, giving them the strength of Samson. Regardless, God is right there. I've had more than one time now. 2 or 3 times. I took to go through my memory banks. I know of 2. Where my car should have totally been destroyed, sliding. 3 times. Twice on ice. Car should have been totally destroyed and probably me with it. And it's like something just kept the car going the way it needed to go and everything turns out fine. God's got miracle power for us. Just call upon the name of Jesus. Are you starting to expect miracles in your life? See, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. How many of you don't need to raise your hand, before you started hearing about God doing miracles here, hearing the testimonies, and maybe you were in church for years and years but never expected a miracle in your life, never even comprehended God would do one, but now it's created in you an expectation, and God will do it for me. See, hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And these bless me. Shall we go on? I guess I really wasn't taking a vote, was I? Judges chapter 15. Go to verse 17. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the name that place Ramoth Leah. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again and he revived. That jawbone he just killed 1,000 men with. There's a good chance that jawbone was all bloody. Do you follow me? I would have thought it would have been shattered. But God creates a hollow place in the jawbone because he calls upon God from his thirst, and water flows out of a jawbone. That would be a creative miracle. And you think God won't pay your electric bill? You think God won't take care of those needs you have in your household? If He can make water come from a jawbone, He can do anything you need. And you don't need the government or natural circumstances to provide it. God can do it miraculously. He can use the natural, but I believe God wants to raise up miracles in our midst. Well, people say, well, Pastor Jake, that was Old Testament. God was doing great things like that in the Old Testament. But He ought to be doing more of them today. We've got greater authority, right? And a higher calling. I was going to say something, trying to recall what it was. That water came from a jawbone to meet the immediate need He had. And God knows your immediate needs. And we have a right to expect miracle manifestation to meet Him. There's what I was going to say. 24 years ago, God told us to quit, told me to quit my job, confirmed it with Patty. We went from a nice salary as an engineer to nothing. And time again, we didn't have enough. There was no way we had money to pay the bills for the month. House payment, kids needing stuff for school, two young kids, utilities, food, everything. And I was, for 2 years, didn't make any money. I was just living off some savings. And after that, we made a piddly paycheck. And we'd added up and look at the bill and say, there's no way to pay this. There is no way. We would sow seed, call upon God. And in 24 years, we have never missed a payment. May have been a few days late on one or two. We've never got a late notice, I don't think. To members, God's always been there. Why? Because God will meet the needs of what He's told you to do. And sometimes money would just show up. It'd take me all day to go through the testimonies about that. The point being is, if He can bring water out of a jawbone to meet Samson's need, who wasn't exactly fulfilling His call of God, how much more will He meet your need when you are? Right? Let's go to, skip some of these. 1 Kings chapter 13. So we're skipping quite a few books. You understand there's miracles in every book of the Bible. I just want to go to some of these that may speak to us. At a little higher level. 1 Kings chapter 13. And let's go to verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon there shall he offer the priests of the high places to burn incense upon them, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he was prophesying about the king Josiah that was going to come. Amen. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. In other words, a man of God, by the word of the Lord, comes and prophesies. Jeroboam doesn't like it. He says, arrest him. And when Jeroboam puts forth his hand dried up. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. This was the king, and God had zero respect for the king who tried to come against the prophet that God had sent. If God will defend an Old Testament prophet, He will defend you, regardless of the position that person holds. Right? He goes on and he says, verse 5, and the altar also was rent. The ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now the altar splits in half. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it were as it was before. Here we see the hand is withered, the altar is split, and the hand's restored. Three miracles in a row. First of all, God's got a protection over us. The world does not want to tamper with. I mentioned this Thursday night. I forget her name. If somebody said it, I would recognize it. It's a well-known minister, lady minister, who used to be very high up in witchcraft. She got born again, radically born again, filled with the Spirit, now is a ministry, teaching about the dangers of witchcraft. But she says, this was Thursday night I spoke about it, right? She says, the witches at a high level know, never curse a Spirit-filled Christian. Don't mess with a Spirit-filled Christian, because it will come back upon you with a vengeance. Why? There's a covering on you. Amen? They don't want to mess with you. And so, as I mentioned the other night, I've had people say, you've been cursed by a witch. What do? I laugh. I say, well, that was a big mistake on their part. You follow me? And if somebody says they've cursed you, you've been cursed by a witch, laugh. Do a happy dance and say, well, they can't touch me. Praise God. They've made a big mistake. I remember I was witnessing in downtown Lexington one time. And I was walking by one of the bars. It was a homosexual bar. We were doing night evangelism. And I felt something go like that. Just hit me right there. And I said, what was that? So I went and told one of the other pastors what had happened. I said, I felt it go like it. He said, somebody cursed you. And whether he was right or not, I don't know. But he says, that was a curse tried to hit you. I said, well, I break that in Jesus' name. And we laughed. Nothing ever came out of it. But I felt it literally like somebody had taken their hand and just done that in my stomach. Don't worry about what the devil wants to do to you. You follow me? And so we serve a miracle, protective God. Let's take this further. First Kings chapter 17. Now, we've studied this story in here quite a bit. We haven't done it recently, but we've done it a lot in the past. Are you there? Is that where I wanted to go to right off? Yeah, I've got to remember reverse order. And Elijah the Tishbite, how would you like to be known as a Tishbite? I think I'd have dropped that part of the name. Amen. Who was of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Do you see this? And do you know it did not rain for 3.5 years? Now, it's one thing. Was it 3 years or 3.5? I think it was 3.5. It's one thing to say there'll be no rain, but to say no dew. Every place has dew of some level. No dew for 3 years plus. Based on the word a man gave. And I want you to know we've got testimony after testimony in this ministry. In fact, we were talking at a pastor's meeting last week, week before last, about the miracle testimonies we have of the pastors in our churches changing weather by their words, turning tornadoes by their words. And you have a right to speak the word over your household. And we have control over the weather. I really do believe Florida was spared the major devastation they were declaring because the saints rose up and prayed against Irma. But what happened? Some of the other islands that are saturated with idol worship and witchcraft were destroyed. Puerto Rico, Marshall Islands are not known as Christian havens. They're havens of witchcraft. Do you see that? Majorly impacted. We have a right to control weather over our lives. Well, I don't believe all that. Well, Jesus did. He said, peace be still to the great storm. It says a mega storm rose up. It wasn't some little wind blowing. A mega storm. In fact, these professional fishermen were afraid they were going to perish because the storm was so strong. And Jesus gets up from his sleep and says, peace be still. And it says there was a mega calm. We should be expecting miracles in our life. We carry a book. It was co-written really by E.W. Kenyon and another author. I think he took some of Kenyon's stuff and added to it. It's called There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. We carry them in the bookstore. But the power of what you say to change events. Amen? So Elijah the prophet, through the word of authority he released, caused it not to rain for 3.5 years. And we're not going to go to that story, but do you remember when it started raining again? What happened? You remember how it started raining again? Elijah said, it's time for it to rain again. He said, now it can rain again. After he killed 850 prophets of Baal, which we'll look at here in a minute. It can now rain again. We made some shifts in the nation. We'll let it rain now. And he sent forth his servant. And he said, go look for the rain in the distance. So his servant went out and didn't see anything. He says, there's nothing there. He said, go again. Because I've spoken, it has to rain. He goes back out, doesn't see anything, comes back and says, there's nothing there. No sign of rain. He says, go again. He goes back and he sees something. He comes back and says, there's a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. He said, that's it. Get your umbrellas. To paraphrase. And the rain came. Based on faith in what is spoken, we can see things shift. Amen. Let's go on over to verse number 8. Now, we've spent whole services talking about this one miracle. I'm going to try not to get bogged down on it too much. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. See, this woman was not Jewish. You follow me? She was a Gentile. She says, the Lord thy God liveth. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, he's talking to a woman who the word here says God has already commanded to care for him. Now, this woman was not Jewish, but somehow she had an encounter with God. I'm betting she was somebody that had a heart for God, was seeking to know this unknown God. She probably heard of the God of Israel. It was saying, God of Israel, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And she had an encounter. I had encounters with God before I was ever born again. Spoke things to me that later came true. Do you follow me? Spoke scripture to me I didn't know was in scripture. So she had an encounter before she even knows him. And the Lord apparently in these encounters says, I'm sending a man to you. I want you to provide food for him. I want you to shelter him and provide food for him. Now, she's going, I don't have any food. But yet she had this encounter with God. So when Elijah comes, he's been told by God, she's been told to provide for you. He's got a word. They both have to be in high levels of faith, because there's no food around. Now, I'm sure Elijah was I'm sure Elijah was thinking, you're sending me to a woman to provide food for me? She must have a lot of food. She must have a stockpile, right? And have you thought you've prayed, God, you know, I need somebody to provide these needs for me. I need somebody to provide this car, house, bill, whatever. And you're thinking God's going to send you a millionaire. Could be God's going to send you somebody broke. And both of you got to work together to see the miracle manifestation. Which is what happened here. She didn't have any food either. So he's saying to her, I'm sure it was a test. Hey, as you're preparing the food, make me a cake first. And I'm sure he wanted to hear, oh yeah, sure, no problem. We got lots. And since she says, no, we're about to die, we don't have anything. So now his faith kicks in, right? She said, we're about to die. So you can see her faith level wasn't in very high expectation. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, I've mentioned this many times, but can you see the newspapers? Prophet demands widow's last meal. It's obvious he's after her food. He's after her money, right? That horrible man of God. He was in faith. And I'm sure God had put in her, or he had the revelation by the Spirit of God, she needs to get a seed in the ground. If God's given us this word, we need to put it to the test. So it says, make me a little cake first. And so, now she's got a decision to make. She can say, you stupid man of God, how horrible it is to try to take our last meal. Or she got to say, well, God, I did have that encounter with God. He told me to provide for a man of God. This must be him. Do you follow me? She's got to get her faith activated. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is Elijah speaking. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You talk about a faith statement. Did God tell him that? Did God tell him that the oil and the meal wouldn't run out? We have no reason to believe that. He just knew God says she'll supply. And he had to come to the, because he was a man just like us. You follow me? And he had to come to the revelation, if God said she'll supply, he must be going to do a miracle. Do you remember Abraham when he went to sacrifice Isaac? God had already given him word, your seed will be the one that's going to bring forth that promise. And it says in Romans or in Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Well, now Elijah's saying, if God said she's going to supply, there must be a miracle in that barrel. So he steps out and says, don't worry, God will supply. Make me a cake first. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Exactly what Elijah said came to pass. Now, did you ever want to take this a step further and think, what if Elijah said, and cows will walk into your house to be freely sacrificed? Do you follow me? Quails, like with Moses, quails will fly in your window. Because I believe, you know, cornmeal mush probably would have got old after a while. Of course, they weren't eating corn, they were eating wheat, right? Farina. How much cream of wheat can you eat for 3 years? Mantle would have looked good after a while. I wonder what would have happened had Elijah said, the barrel of oil won't fail, the meal barrel won't fail, and guess what? At least once a day, squirrels will crawl in your house that you can have for lunch. I believe he'd had squirrels, or quail, or cows. But exactly what he spoke, he got. Don't limit God with your words. Step out and decree, declare some things. Believe for God's miracle power to manifest. Now, we didn't even cover the story. Let me back up and look at that one. Go to chapter 17, verse 1. Well, we went there, didn't we? Go to verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I really don't know if I want to eat food that came out of a bird's mouth. But I guess in time of drought, you'll take what you can. But what a miracle. Have you ever watched, you ever watched the birds like sick of French fry? Have you ever been at McDonald's or something and the birds out there and they'll be fighting over a French fry? They're not giving the thing up willingly. Or a piece of a bun, you know, they'll find. We were in Kauai in the Hawaiian Islands, the island of Kauai. Chickens rule the island. They're everywhere. Chickens everywhere. In the cities, in the stores. The stores are full of chickens. The chickens are just coming in and out. Up in the woods, there are chickens everywhere. In fact, it's their island motto is a chicken. Apparently, years before they you know, some were released in the wild and they multiplied, and now the chickens overrun by these colorful. I mean, the islands overrun by colorful chickens. And they are the biggest beggars you'll ever find. Everywhere you go, you get out of the car, chickens run up. You gonna feed me? Gonna feed me? Gonna feed me? And of course, people are throwing them popcorn and chips and bread and stuff. You know, chickens. And you throw out a piece of bread. You throw out a piece of bread, one chicken will grab it, and five will go try to steal it from him. Birds do not share their food. They are stingy. Stingy birds. And somehow God commanded the ravens to go get food and bring it to Elijah? That's a miracle in itself. The birds didn't keep it for themselves. I wonder how much food Elijah didn't get because a few birds rebelled. No, not me. No. This is a good one. Tradition, yeah, and you wonder what kind of food would the birds bring? You know, are they just bringing some scraps? They have French fries out of the McDonald's lot, you know. Elijah gets the French fry, pulls out of the bird's mouth. Give me that. Sure, the bird kept a little bite for itself. Dust it off. Tradition says, this is not in Scripture, This is tradition. Tradition says that the birds flew into Ahab's banquet hall, stole the food off of Ahab's table twice a day, the king's food, and flew it to Elijah. Now we're talking. You follow me? Skip the old french fries. I mean, Patty won't eat french fries if they're 30 minutes old. It's got to be straight hot out of the fryer. You know, he's not eating old in french fries. Can you imagine from a bird's mouth? Probably took him a while to get there. But a T-bone? We can handle that. So it's believed that Elijah actually ate well from the king's table. Now, do we have time to go to the next one? Not really, because that's a big one. We need to hold on that. We're going to find out next week that if we cover it for glory separation, the miracle God did for Elijah to call fire down from heaven and burn up the sacrifice, the logs, the water in the ditches and everything. Amen? What a miracle work of faith that was. Are you getting anything out of this? I want to remind you to see Pastor Tom here to sign your release forms for us. We want to get your testimonies out online. And if you're willing to have it videoed, just write on your form video. And we'll set up the camera and get you a time you can come in. And we want to get your testimony on film. Amen. Because the world needs to hear these. We've been reading some out of the Gospels about the works of Jesus in some of the services lately. And it talks about, everybody said, nobody can do the miracles you do except by the Spirit of God. Miracles speak for the reality of God. So don't, please don't think, well, I just don't want anybody knowing it. I'm kind of private. Be willing to take what God gave you in the form of a healing, a miracle, whatever, and release it to the world to speak on behalf of God. Do you follow me? And we want to get online saturated with these things, just to let people know what's going on. Because there's people out there that need miracles themselves. They need to hear you had one to give them faith to come in and get theirs. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you to seal it in our understanding, cause us to be people of great faith. And we thank you, Father, we serve a miracle-working God. Cause each one here for their faith level to increase in expectation of you doing great things in their life that transcend the natural laws of this world. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise.